From the campus of New Hope Christian College, welcome to Words of New Hope.
Who gave you the authority to turn these tables over and push these people out, the money changers and stuff? Okay, I will reveal that to you, but first I'm going to ask you a question.
Okay.
John the Baptist, he says. You know John?
Yes, we do.
The baptism of John, the ministry of John, what do you think? Was that from God or was it a hoax?
We got the answer.
What is it?
We don't know.
Aloha and welcome to Words of New Hope with Dr. Wayne Cordero, pastor of New Hope Christian Fellowship in Honolulu. For the past 2 days, Pastor Wayne has been giving a message entitled, Who is this Jesus? We've learned that to get to know Jesus, we must get to know His Word. Well, today we'll see that it's not enough just to know His Word, we must respond to it. Here's Pastor Wayne with the conclusion of the message, Who is this Jesus?
You can write this down. Revelation comes only to those who, what?
Obey.
Obey. And when you ask God to reveal Himself to you, because you really want to walk with Him, then like me, you'll find that He's a Savior, first of all. He's a healer. And when I'm stuck, He's my counselor. He's my baptizer, gives me the Holy Spirit to give me power, the baptism in the Holy Spirit. He's my friend when I have none. When I've lost my spiritual GPS, He'll be my guide. When I feel forlorn, He's my comforter. And when I make errors and return to Him, He's my forgiver. And when I beat myself up, He's my encourager. And I know that one day I'll see Him again because He's my coming King. But not only that, He inspires me. And then He goes beyond that because sometimes He prods me. And He'll do that to you. He'll invigorate you, but then He'll challenge you because He knows there's more in there. He'll prompt you. And even at times He will convict you. But then He cheers you. And then He'll protect you. But then He exhorts, stirs you. He will embolden you. And how often He stands and applauds you. When you get to know Him as He is, things begin to change. Some people say, but Wayne, are there so many do's and don'ts? I think, isn't He just a policeman to just police your life? Oh, no. If you know Jesus, you begin to understand. What do you mean? I don't know if you've ever gone to a laboratory where they're putting together microelectronics or optical equipment, even like a cell phone, they have to put together through microscopes because everything's so small. If you go into those labs where they're putting together microelectronics, you will find that they're all wearing smocks and gloves and even breathing masks, hairnets. Everything is sterile. Why? Because they know that if they put together a microelectronic piece of equipment and there's some dust in there or grime, it will ruin it. It has to be sterile, sanitary. And they put that together and seal it because it functions the best when it's sanitary. And in the same way, when God created you and me, He created us in a divinely sanitary way because God knew that we don't function well with sin in our life. Our families are destroyed when sin enters in. He didn't design us that way. He designed us to have a divine sense of sanitation. There's a precision. And so when God designs us that way, He says, now, and by the way, Wayne, sin will mess you up.
You mean you don't want me to sin?
No. I designed you to function the best without sin.
So you're going to punish me for my sin?
No, you will be punished by your sin.
Well, when I mess up,
I'll come to cleanse you if you'll return to me. But if you rationalize and you want to do it, there's nothing I can do because there's no sacrifice for unresolved sin. Because your greatest sin is not sin, it's unresolved sin.
Then what happens?
Then if you die, you'll live in eternity without me.
So you send people to hell? What kind of God are you?
No. God says, I don't send anyone to hell. I didn't create hell for people. I created hell for the devil, Lucifer and his minions.
So what did you create for us?
In my Father's house, there are many mansions, and one has your name on it. So if you rejoice on anything, rejoice that your names are written in the Lamb's Book of Life. You see, you have to work really hard to reject heaven. And so Jesus says, follow me, and I know how I created you. So if you'll get to know me, I will help you to live the way I designed you to live. And there's no greater life, no greater life than that. I will guide you. I will heal you. I will comfort you. I will endorse you. I will encourage. I will inspire. I'll exhort. And you see, the more you get to know Jesus, the more you get to know who you are, because you were created in his image. And the more you get to know Jesus, the more you get to know yourself. Because that's how he created you, you see, in his image. And then you begin to say, ah. Now, if Jesus reveals himself to you, which he will, after you receive him into your heart, because if you don't have Jesus in your heart and you try to get to know God, you'll just get religious and weird. The only way God will reveal himself to you is you have to open your heart. And then he gives you a new mind, new eyes, new ears, new heart. You see, it's an inside job. And that's why you can do a bunch of polls and question all these people about who God is, and you'll still not come to know God if you don't have him in your heart. You'll have a very dangerous religion is what you'll have. And that you can see that prevalent all over the world. And that's why here at New Hope we say, no, don't just get to know about God, get to know God. And it's not a philosophy, it's not a principle, it's a person. You open your heart and be born again, and then everything starts to clear up. So when Jesus reveals himself to you, here's the reason why a lot of people still say no. You know why? Because when they see Jesus as he really is, you know what he demands from you and me? A response. You have to either say you're a liar or you're true. You're God or you're a hoax. Which one?
Well, I don't know.
Well, no, you can't do that. You see, you've got to respond. In Matthew chapter 21, it's really interesting. These guys that are Pharisees came to Jesus, and Jesus had just turned over the tables outside the temple, and the Pharisees are saying, we control this place, not you. They came to him and said, who gave you the authority to turn these tables over and push these people out, the money changers and stuff? Jesus said, oh, you want to know where my authority comes from? You want me to reveal that to you?
Yes.
Okay, I will reveal that to you, but first I'm going to ask you a question in order to see how open your hearts are. I'm going to ask you a question, and if you answer that, then it'll tell me that you're ready for me to reveal more to you.
Okay.
John the Baptist, he says. You know John?
Yes, we do.
John, the guy that's baptizing, he doesn't forgive sins, but he baptizes people in order to posture their hearts to be forgiven by God. Now, people are flocking to him. In fact, a bunch of John's disciples were around at this time. The baptism of John and the ministry of John, what do you think? Was that from God or was it a hoax? What do you think? Answer that. So these older guys,
we got to think. Let's huddle.
They came together.
Okay, if we say that John the Baptist was indeed from God, then he's going to ask us why we weren't baptized. No, we don't want to be baptized. No. So we cannot say that he's a hoax. No. Okay, but we can't say that he's also made up on his own thing, because we don't want to say that he's not from God, so he is from God.
Yeah, but we don't want to say that.
Okay. Well, neither can we say that he's a hoax either.
Really?
Yeah, because John's disciples are here, and we need their votes because we want to be popular.
Uh-huh.
So we can't say he's a hoax, but we don't want to say he's from God either.
Ooh, so what will we say?
Let's just say we don't know.
That's good. Okay, break. We got the answer.
What is it?
We don't know.
And Jesus said, uh-huh. But you know the truth. You know his ministry is from God. Yeah, so why didn't you respond? Because you see, would you write in your notes, when Jesus reveals himself to you, in order for him to reveal more of himself, you have to first respond to what he just revealed to you. Because if he reveals truth to you and you are unaccountable to that, you remember, he who has my commandments and keeps them, he it is who loves me. So if he reveals something and we don't keep it, then he's not going to reveal more. So he's actually testing their hearts. Can you receive truth? So here's a little bit of truth. John the Baptist, from God or from man?
Well, we can't say it's from God. We don't want to say it's from man. So we're just going to kind of like right in the middle.
So we don't know. And Jesus says, let's read about it. Number three, Matthew 21, verse 27. Read it with me. Go. And answering Jesus, they said, we don't know. And also he said to them, then neither will I tell you by what authority I do these things. You know what Jesus was saying? If you can't be accountable to the truths you already know, why should I reveal to you more truths that you don't yet know? Because you won't be accountable to them either. Do you want me to reveal more truth to you? Then find the truth that I've already revealed to you. Be accountable to that, and I'll give you more. But if I give you truth and you're not accountable to it, why should I give you more truth? Because you won't obey that either. So here's the key. The key to more revelation is obedience. And that's why it's so important for us to respond to Jesus. Now, some of you might be here and you say, you know, Wayne, I know I come to church, but I really haven't made a decision about Christ because I'm not that bad of a person. I have people say that to me. I'm not that bad of a person. I'm not like a Nazi. So why would God let me go to hell if I'm a good person? I say, you know, when you measure yourself by yourselves, in fact, let's read it here and you'll see. Read this last one, go. But when they measure themselves by themselves and compare themselves with themselves, they are... Yeah, it's like you mess up your brain. When you compare yourself with somebody else, you'll always find somebody way darker, way worse, way more evil, so it makes you look good. You'll always be able to find somebody like that. So we say, well, we're not as bad as, like, Nazis. But you don't compare yourself among yourselves because it causes you to mess yourself up. Remember, you always measure yourself with Christ because he made you in his image. So let me ask you this question. When they say, well, I'm not as bad as the criminals or the terrorists or Nazis. I say, okay. So, you know, tell me, what is a greater distance? What is a greater distance? Your moral distance, the moral distance that you have. I'm more moral than the Nazis. All right. The moral distance, what is greater? The moral distance between you and a Nazi, or the moral difference, or the distance between you and Jesus? Which is greater? The moral distance between you and a Nazi, or the moral distance between you and Jesus? Which is greater? Of course, between you and Jesus. And if you see it that way, we ain't that far from Nazis. We have the same flesh. We have the same propensity to excuse ourselves and see ourselves as pretty good. That's why he says, when you compare yourselves among yourselves, it messes your understanding up. Always look to Jesus. Ratchet back to Jesus. It's Jesus, pure and simple. And when you measure yourself with Christ, every single one of us will realize that we need a Savior. We need Christ's forgiveness. We need his mercy. And then the Lord says, now I'll give that to you. You compare yourself with another, you don't need anybody's help. You compare yourself with Jesus, you need a Savior. And the Lord says, that's it. Get to know Jesus. And when you do, your life will be infinitely changed for the better. Changed by one solitary life. As we close, let's take a look at this wonderful story about how our life is changed by one person, But before I do that, read the scripture with me, would you, from the screen? Go. Therefore, many other signs Jesus also performed in the presence of his disciples, which are not written in this book. But these have been written so that you may believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that believing you may have life in his name. There's a lot about Jesus. I could go on and on till midnight tonight to tell you about how wonderful our Savior is. So many miracles and so many testimonies. But we have to pause and stop. You say, well, yeah, by the way, Wayne, what about creation, dinosaurs and stuff? Why didn't, if God wanted us to really know him, why didn't he put it in here? What about Cro-Magnon man? What about the carbon dating and fossils and stuff? What about aliens? How come he didn't put, if he really wants us to know about Jesus, how come it's not in here? Well, if he put everything in about creation in here, do you know how big this book would be? You would need a forklift just to pick up one chapter. He chose enough to be in here so that you will believe that Jesus is the Christ and that by believing you'll have faith in his name. Because if you miss that relationship with Christ, it doesn't matter how creation took place. But you see, if you come to know Jesus and to get to know him, and if you really want to know about creation, when you and I get to heaven, all you got to do is say, hey, Jesus, could you run the film of how you created stuff? He will turn on the theater screen and you can watch it for the first million years. But if you don't know Jesus, it doesn't matter how creation took place, did it? Would it? You'll never see it. So he put enough in here so that you and I will be able to respond to Jesus. One life will change us forever. Let's take a look.
He was born in an obscure village, the child of a peasant woman. He grew up in another obscure village, where he worked in a carpenter shop until he was 30, and then for 3 years he was an itinerant preacher. He never had a family or owned a home. He never set foot inside a big city. He never traveled 200 miles from the place he was born. He never wrote a book or held an office. He did none of the things that usually accompany greatness. While he was still a young man, the tide of popular opinion turned against him. His friends deserted him. He was turned over to his enemies and went through the mockery of a trial. He was nailed to a cross between two thieves, and while he was dying, his executioners gambled for the only piece of property he had, his coat. When he was dead, he was taken down and laid in a borrowed grave. 19 centuries have come and gone, and today he is the central figure for much of the human race. All the armies that ever marched, and all the navies that ever sailed, all the parliaments that ever sat, and all the kings that ever reigned, put together, have not affected the life of man upon this earth as powerfully as this one solitary life.
How many of you are glad for Jesus? Let's stand together as we conclude. If you've never responded to Jesus, please do so. It'll be the most eternal decision you'll ever make. Because you see, when Christ created mankind and the Father, God created us in His image, which means you're an eternal being. You will live forever. The question is where? Remember, God made heaven for people, hell for the devil and his angels, says the book of Matthew. But we get to choose. And that's why Jesus says, follow me. And he gives out everything he can so that you can make a decision. And men still will say no. So then it's not a matter of God or understanding God. It's a matter of my heart and how I've hardened it. But if you say today, no, I don't want to say no because he's not a hoax. And I don't want to say I'm in the middle, because that's a decision against him as well, just like the Pharisees did. I want to say yes to Jesus Christ. And when that heart opens, he comes in, begins to reveal himself to you. You get new ears, start hearing him, new eyes. Oh, now I see. Mine, I don't think that way anymore. I need to think this way. But it requires him on the inside. That's why man without receiving Christ can never understand Christ. But this moment is incredibly important as you receive Christ and he transforms us from the inside. And for some people, it might take a lifetime to get to know Jesus, but what a fabulous journey walking with him every day. If you've never made that decision, make it today. It'll be the best decision you'll ever make. Would you bow your heads with me? If you're here and you say, Wayne, I want to receive Christ. God knows I need his forgiveness and I need a guide. I need his counsel and I need his wisdom and insight. I want God to be my friend. There's so much for me to learn. But I need redemption most of all. I need him to be my Savior. Sometimes I follow poorly, but I want to follow. So I want to say yes to Jesus. If you've never received Christ, I want you to do that today. You say, well, how do I do that? Let Jesus know. So if you've never received Christ and you say, yes, I want to receive him today, I want you to raise a hand. And in doing so, you're saying yes to his invitation to follow. So if that's you right now, just raise a hand and you're saying yes. Okay, yep, all right. Yep, you too. All right, yep. Okay, in the back, yep. Anybody else, just raise your hand. Okay, on the side, yeah. Yep, okay, you too. Yeah. All right. You can put your hands down. If this is the first time you've received Christ, make sure you get a yes packet on your way out. There's some materials in there that will help you in your first few steps with Christ. But let's all pray this prayer together as we reaffirm our relationship with Christ. Would you pray this after me? Heavenly Father, thank you for Jesus. Thank you that you came. You died for my sins that I might have life with you, life everlasting. Change me. Make me the person you want me to be. And now I say this so everyone can hear, so you can hear me, so I can hear myself, and so the devil can hear. Jesus Christ is my Lord. He is my Savior. I belong to him. In Jesus' name I pray. And that's a cry of our heart, Lord. We love you dearly. Thank you for being our Savior, our Lord, our friend. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
You've just heard the conclusion of a message entitled, Who is This Jesus? By Dr. Wayne Crudero of New Hope Christian Fellowship in Honolulu. Thank you for listening. for Pastor Wayne Cordero, this is Del Gibbs wishing you a great day in the Lord and aloha.
What if there were a place where you could discover, develop, and fulfill your dreams? That place is New Hope Christian College.
New Hope Christian College is a place where everyone knows everyone. Your teachers really do care about you, they want you to succeed, and they're willing to partner with you to do whatever it takes to make that happen.
The education that I've received at New Hope has really equipped me to graduate market ready.
No matter where you come from, New Hope Christian College is a place where you can come to find community.
There's a place for you at New Hope Christian College. For more information, go online to newhope.edu or call 1-800-322-2638. New Hope Christian College, a place where dreams are released.